Oh no, folks. Quentin Post is heading to the NBA. BC Star Center is going somewhere else other than Chestnut Hill in 2023. Well, at least that's what he says right now. I'm going to tell you why. Probably not that big of a deal. We'll get into that on today's show.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, folks, this is Locked On BC. I'm your host, AJ Black. I'm the editor and publisher of Eagle Insider, part of the 247 Sports Network. Going to go a little basketball heavy today with some basketball news that has broke on Wednesday, stuff that you're going to want to need to know about. Center Quentin Post, who was arguably the linchpin of this resurgence in the second half of the season, on Wednesday declared that he is going to enter the NBA draft. Now, there's a big caveat to this. I see a lot of folks on social media freaking out about it, and especially on Facebook, there's a lot of Facebook folks that seem to worry about this. Quentin Post said one thing. He's leaving his eligibility open so that he could return to BC. What does that mean? It means he's not hiring an agent. When you hire an agent and you enter the NBA draft, your college eligibility is donezo. He's not. That means what he's going to do is he's going to enter the NBA draft process. Post, who had he was the ACC comeback most improved player of the year. You know, he was obviously vital to BC. When he was out there, he made a huge difference for Boston College. When he was hurt, you lose to Maine, Tarleton, and UNH. He's going to go through the process. He's going to go get scouted. He's going to get, you know, graded. They're going to see where he falls in terms of like where his draft stock might be. And then he's going to make his decision. Now, my purpose of talking about this is not to trash on Quentin Post, because I love his game. You get a guy here who can, he's 7 feet tall. He can shoot inside. He's got a lot of charisma. He shoots 42% from 3-point range. You don't find those guys on, hanging from, growing on trees all that often. That being said, Quentin Post is going to be looking at two things. This is what I imagine his thought process is. Am I going to be a first round draft pick? Guaranteed money. If that's the case, I will leave Boston College. Or will I be a second round draft pick or an undrafted free agent? In which case, it's probably better to go back to college. I love Quentin Post, as I just said. Is he a first round draft pick right now? No, he's not. I mean, yeah, he's a 7-footer who can shoot the outside shot, but he's not a complete enough player yet. So what ends up happening? He's going to go out there. He's going to get valuable advice, which is great for Quentin Post. He's going to go out there. He's going to practice. He's going to meet scouts. He's going to hear about what's good in his game, what he needs to improve upon. And then he'll probably get a grade, I'm guessing, later second round undrafted free agent, and he'll be back at BC. Now, in his statement, he did not say that he's going to come definitely back to BC. He says he's going to return to college. Now, is that worrisome? Sure. But I think right now, my personal opinion, what Quentin Post has in front of him, I think what's going to end up happening next year is one of two things. Either for some reason he blows away the scouts and ends up in the NBA draft, or he ends up with BC. I don't think he ends up going to some other team or enters the transfer portal. You know, I honestly, at this point, if some team really wanted to overpay with NIL money, I think he would be wise enough to just say, screw the draft. I'm going to go get that money, because that money is probably even better than what I would get there. I don't think he's going to get that kind of deal. And so I expect in the end that Quentin Post will be back with BC. Now, this is a situation, this kind of draft thing has happened before for BC. If you remember last year, I think we were all kind of surprised when it happened, but DeMar Langford entered the NBA draft, and he was back at BC by May. You know, I think the draft is in early June, if I remember correctly. And so, you know, I think this is just a common occurrence in college basketball. And it doesn't hurt the players to do it. It helps them to get, you know, valuable advice. So I can't hate on Quentin Post for doing this. I think it's a smart move for this young man to go out there and get that money and get that not that money, get that advice, get the ability to go through this process. And I think that'll be huge because, you know, what does BC do with this now? You know, you're going to, if you're Earl Grant, you have 13 scholarships that you can play with for your roster. BC has 12 filled right now. They have an open one, and that's, we'll talk a little bit about what they're doing with that in the third segment. But do they try to figure out, like, if they lose Quentin Post, I mean, if you're going to think about what is the potential for this program, if they lose Quentin Post and they're just going off of what they have on their roster, they have a real dire need for a center, and having to wait until June to deal with that is a little worrisome. Again, I don't think it's going to be that. It's going to come to that, but I'm just talking it out. You want to have all your bases covered when you have a guy like this, and you have to potentially move on. So I think that piece is a little icky. It's a little bit like, what do we do? Do we go out there and try to recruit for that transfer portal spot, or where do we go with that? But I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. But as I said, I think we're going to all probably be happy that I think it sounds like Post will be back in the fall. Now, in our second segment, talking about BC basketball, the coaching carousel has been going crazy 3 days. I'm going to go over some of the big moves, talking about where things have changed, because I think those are important, and look at a potential question I have about a certain job opening that came up and whether they might look at Earl Grant for that position. We'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do that, the tournament is heating up. And now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. We're getting ready for the sweet. And if you're like me, your bracket's completely busted, you can go game by game on FanDuel. No, get yourself back into the game, make your bets, and win some money back. So don't miss out the chance to get your no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right. This is AJ Black. We are Locked On BC. I'm telling you, there are other podcasts out there. Locked On BC is the only podcast that does this every day. I break down the news. I give you the analysis that you need, and I have the scoops. I'm an insider for Boston College. I know the recruiting. I know a lot of the insider stuff. Hit subscribe on YouTube if you want to get all of our podcasts every single day. So, over the last week, the college basketball season has come to a close for most teams, other than the last 16 and some NIT teams. And a lot of teams have decided to move on. And with that have come a rash of new moves as coaches have decided to move on. Now, the biggest move, I don't know if it's the biggest, but the most interesting move I've seen so far is Rick Pitino going to St. John's. Now, he was with Iona. It was only a matter of time before he got himself back up and at a program that he felt that he could move up with. And St. John's is that kind of sleep. I don't want to say sleeping giant, but a program that has some history that Pitino can do some things. And obviously he goes right in there. Day two, he's already offering 5-star guards. So he's ready to get St. John's back and going. But the bigger move to me, there's another big move that I thought was interesting, and it kind of hits BC in the local region, and that's Ed Cooley, who is now heading to Georgetown, a team that has been atrocious under Patrick Ewing, is now got their guy. And I saw Dave Portnoy and Jeff Goodman fighting about it on Twitter. And I'm not getting into who was right and who was wrong, but Georgetown does have a huge history, right? And getting Ed Cooley out of New England is nothing but a good thing for Boston College, because Ed Cooley was doing a heck of a job with the Friars. They were a consistent top 25 team for the last 10 years, and he was a great recruiter. I mean, look at one of BC's top guards last year, Mekhi Ashton-Lankford, who originally recruited him, Ed Cooley at Providence. So getting him out and then replacing him with Kim English, who's a, you know, I'm not sure if he's got like a huge upside to him, but I look at his stats and he's a borderline 500 coach. I'm not too overly scared of what he could bring to the Friars, but that gives BC a better chance in the area, especially with UConn really starting to take a step up. But this isn't to talk about all these other smaller jobs, you know, with Mike Bray leaving and Damon Stoudemire going to Georgia Tech. Those are fun things to talk about, but this is the Boston College podcast. And the biggest news I thought I saw on Wednesday night that could impact BC was that Micah Shrewsbury, who was the head coach of Penn State, who just got Penn State to a top 32 team, you know, they're in the second round of the NCAAs, is reportedly leaving the Nittany Lions to head to Notre Dame to replace Mike Bray. Now, that's a big move in itself. I think Shrewsbury, I believe, was one of the finalists for the BC jobs, or at least he was a name that was constantly linked to BC when they hired Earl Grant. He came from Purdue. He was an assistant there under the head coach at Purdue. And so to get that, first of all, Notre Dame gets a heck of a hire. I think Shrewsbury is an excellent head coach. When you get Penn State, a program that has no history whatsoever in basketball, to be productive year after year, that shows you something. And now to get him in the ACC, that's tough news. But the bigger news with this is that Penn State now has a job opening. And I ask you this question. Who's the AD over at Penn State? It's Pat Kraft. Who did Pat Kraft hire the last time he had a basketball hire to make? Earl Grant. What has Earl Grant done so far? He took a program that hasn't done much and done a lot with them, kind of like Penn State. Now, the buyout might be ridiculous or hard for him to get out of it. And I mean, they just signed a 2-year extension. But I have to wonder, is there a potential that Penn State could be interested in Earl Grant? And this could be one of those moments where the Big Ten money might come into play. If they think Earl Grant is that guy that could continue what Micah Shrewsbury did, Penn State can overpay. They can afford to pay the buyout if they really want him. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I'm not saying that I think it's the favorite move right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pat Kraft kicks that tire again. You know, he said when he hired Earl Grant that Earl Grant blew him away when he hired him at Boston College. I mean, you have a job opening now. You've got a guy in the same region. Why not try to do it again? Should Boston College fans be nervous about this? I don't think so. I think that I honestly do think that this contract extension came at just the perfect time. I've seen folks complaining about this, and they said on yesterday's show, it's a recruiting move. It's an optics move. Now we're going to wait and see what that buyout is, because if the number's low, if it's something Penn State can swallow, well, I mean, they could probably swallow a lot, but if it's something that they can handle, then they may go after Earl Grant. But if the money's too much or it's not worth it, then heck, maybe that contract extension is what's going to keep the Earl Grant at BC. It's going to be an interesting job search for the Nittany Lions, see what they do here. And as I said, the ACC is going to get a little bit harder as Mike Bray, I thought, was doing a great job at Notre Dame, but I'm really interested to see what Shrewsbury is going to do there after leaving Penn State. And, you know, also good for BC that Ed Cooley left at Providence. So in our final segment, some news of the notes. Baseball went 1-1 in their local series, including a win at home on Wednesday. We're going to look at where Zay Flowers is being projected in the latest mock drafts. Talk a little bit about everything else that's going on with the Eagles. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Locked On BC, AJ Black. Transfer portal news has been hitting and hitting hard. Now, if you know me, I am the editor and publisher of Eagle Insider, part of the 247 Sports Network. We're the industry leader in recruiting. We had on our network the top 25 transfers that are in the portal right now. And ironically enough, the name that has been linked hard to BC, Kowasi Reeves of Florida, who BC was in home with just yesterday, was number 9 overall. Number 9. This is coming from a team, BC, where you hear all the fans going, oh, we're just getting all the dumps, you know, the dumpster fires from Power 5 programs or, you know, FCS players. It's NIL, NIL, NIL. Well, Kowasi Reeves is number 9. And BC is still in the driver's seat to get this guy. Now, he has an in-home visit with Georgia State, Loyola, Chicago, and Mississippi State. Still chance that, you know, obviously an SEC school might swoop in and get him. But there's a lot of potential that BC is going to land this kid. And I know I said that I'm not the biggest fan of where he's done, what he's done so far, but I also said that he has the potential. And that's exactly what 247 said. You know, they talked about that if this kid can put it all together, he's going to be a star. So this could be an exciting move right here if BC can land him. That was the first big news. Now let's talk baseball. It's been a while. On Tuesday, BC baseball lost on the road, but in New England to Northeastern. And it was a game that they were behind through the whole game. I believe there was a bench clearing. I don't want to say brawl, but benches cleared. It sounded like it was a pretty testy game with a lot of calls in favor of Northeastern, but it's a loss, and it didn't hurt BC at all because their RPI didn't change at all. It's just one of those games. Baseball's so much different than football. Like when football you lose, it hits different, right? It feels like you're getting slugged in the chest because every game has the impact of like 9 baseball games. Baseball, you can lose a game. It's okay. They just needed to make sure that they did better as they continued on. And they did that. They played Sacred Heart in their home opener at Harrington Village on Wednesday. And they came from behind. They fell behind pretty deep, but they had some clutch hitting to go ahead and win 8-7 on a walk off to win the game. I mean, big win. They needed to not lose 2 in a row. A little worrisome that they fell behind, but it's a midweek game. Midweek games in baseball are just funky. They're just funky because it's you're not going with your usual rotation. You're throwing spot guys in there. And then you catch teams that are hungry, like, you know, a team like Northeastern or Sacred Heart. This is a big game for them. While BC's like, look, probably looking ahead a little bit to NC State. So that was good that they could, you know, win at least 1 out of 2. And I don't think it's going to hurt their ratings. I really don't. Now, the end of this week is busy for BC. We have the pro day at Fishfield House on Friday. As I said, I believe we talked about this on yesterday's episode. Zay Flowers will be there. He's just going to be doing routes and catches and all that stuff. He's going to have Austin Burton throwing to him. And there's some other names of guys that are just, I think, really fringy NFL guys. We'll have to wait and see there. But I think Zay is going to be the one that's going to have a ton of interest. And Mel Kiper had his latest mock draft out that came out earlier this week. And he had Zay Flowers going pick number 22 to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I like that if for Zay, I always look at like, I want BC guys to get to good positions, like Zion Johnson to the Los Angeles Chargers is a good move because obviously they had Justin Herbert and that that team's on the rise. AJ Dillon, when he was drafted, he got to the Packers. Obviously they had Aaron Rodgers. That's good. I would love to see Zay with Baltimore if Lamar is there. If they lose Lamar Jackson and they're going to Tyler Huntley or some other quarterback, please don't put Zay Flowers there because it's just going to be a giant waste of time. Like, he's going to have no one throwing to him. He's going to have no real offense to get him going. I think it's kind of a yes, but with Zay. I've always said I'd love to see him with the Patriots. I'd love to see him with the Chiefs or, you know, some of these programs that have established quarterbacks. If Baltimore loses Lamar Jackson, I don't think it's going to be a good fit. So that's my thoughts on that. Now, on tomorrow's show, we're going to wrap up our week. BC football has another weekend of practice and recruits coming on. I'll look at some big names that are coming on and talk about that. But if you are interested in recruiting, if you've found some of my recruiting talk interesting, go to Eagle Insider right now. 50% off we have for a yearly subscription. It's literally the cost, less than the cost of a cup of Starbucks coffee. And you can get insider information. I've talked to, since last weekend, I think 10 to 12 of the recruits out of the 40 that came to BC. And I'm going to tell you, the 10 to 12 I talked to are the ones you want to know about. There's other kids that came that they don't have offers. They're kind of just camping out, checking it out. I talked to the guys that BC has offered, BC are looking at. Head over to Eagle Insider. You can hear what they have to say. I talked to Henry Hasselback. I mean, you're going to want to know all this stuff. It's inexpensive. You're going to learn some, and it supports the work that I do. If you like this podcast, you can also subscribe on YouTube as well. That's completely free, but also think about getting that Eagle Insider subscription and join our community. Our message board is fantastic. There's tons of BC fans on there with some really fun comments, really knowledgeable stuff. You can check that out as well. Well, I'm heading out. This is AJ Black. Have a happy Thursday, everyone. We'll see y'all again soon. Take care.